And so tonight is really a night, I'm going to share this portion of scripture with you. What I'm about to read you is all I have. Except in my heart, what I want to share, I hope will spawn within you or promote or prick within you a thought that, and please listen. If we go this way, I would want you to say tonight for a topic that you'd want me to say something about, if you'd simply just say that thing. No, if you say, for example, if somebody tonight says, well, okay, abortion, that's all you need to say. Are you with me? Because if you want to stand up and give a sermon or something like that, it's just not going to work. But if you want to know tonight, and listen, we're going to be 100% Bible. And it'll make sense, I hope, in a moment. But tonight's the night for us to be like around a very, very big coffee table. I mean it. That's the spirit that I've come here tonight with. In fact, I told the guys tonight, I hope I don't ruin everything, but I told the guys tonight, I always feel like there's a barrier between us. That's why we don't have a pulpit, by the way. Did you know that? I will not have a pulpit here because I don't like feeling restricted, because if there's a blockade, human psyche has a tendency to stand behind it. And I don't like the separation. And so, but that's why this goofy podium is here, because it's open and I like that. Along that spirit tonight, if I have an opportunity to just walk on the floor tonight and walk around and talk and be with you, that's what I want to do. Okay, so don't think that it's turned into the Phil Donahue show or some weird. Remember that guy back 100 years ago? So I've been lighthearted until right now, for real. This is what's pressing on my heart, and that's why we're together tonight. Ezekiel 33, verse 1, the Bible says, Ezekiel is speaking, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, that's what God called Ezekiel, son of man. There's only one other in the Bible called the son of man. I think you know who he is. Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring a sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning. If the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will be required at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, Ezekiel, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. Guys, back up. Let's read it again. Church, allow me to change the verbiage just a bit. Go back to verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the children of the church and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make them their pastor, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the church, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning shall save his life. But if the pastor sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet and the church is not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the pastor's hands. So you, son of man, I have made you a pastor for the house of the church. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. This is the age in which we live in. This is what I want to share with you tonight. With all that's going on in this last week, in Washington, D.C. In fact, since January 21st, this current government has done absolutely nothing to conduct the business of the nation. You need to know this. They have spent all of their time setting records, for example, of executive orders. So for those of you who thought that you were voting for a democracy, you got something completely different. You literally have the most tyrannical form that this nation has ever known by their own actions. And they haven't done anything to change anything. They've done everything to destroy the progress that has been made so bad that how in the world do you get to be president within 4 days and wind up canceling 70,000 jobs that you decide to do? I don't want people to have those jobs anymore. And now those people don't have jobs anymore. How is it that you begin to stop the religious freedoms that were enacted by President Trump? How do you stop the movement of this nation to stop human trafficking and now remove the constraints from human traffickers? What's going on here? Why is it that Border Patrol agents and the southern borders were given all of these things and now they were taken away? Why is it now that we are being literally flooded and inundated, and today we learn that the people coming across the borders are from North Africa and from the Middle East? What are they doing? What's happening? Who are they? Oh, but wait, COVID. We've got to shut down everything except our borders. People are coming across our borders with no papers, no documents, no vaccines, What about polio? What about diphtheria? Do they have anything? Well, you don't know. It's required of you, but it's not required of them. What's going on? You know what's going on? According to our nation's founding, our nation has no moral compass anymore. There's no one saying, you can't do that. That's wrong. Because number one, we're afraid to say it because we have been completely beaten down. We've allowed ourselves to be beaten down. But the reason why we don't have a moral compass is because the church has been silent. Amen. For a long time. Amen. And it's failed. The church has failed us. The church is irrelevant in the United States of America. I want you to know that. The church is too absolutely committed to being cool and acceptable and to being like the world so that people will come. Isn't it funny? The churches that have assumed the way of the world dried up. Thank God. COVID has been, this 2020 has been a great blessing in so many ways. Because so many churches closed, and most of them needed to close. Because listen, when you don't teach the Bible and give people what they need to live a life that exactly as the Bible talks about, where we're in a warfare, spiritually speaking, we're in a warfare. And if you don't give people the tools from the Word of God to fight the good fight, then when the war comes, they fold. The trumpet was never blown, but in a few places. And more than any other time in our nation's history, if there's any hope for the United States, you know it is not going to come from some elected party or some person or a group. There's no hope for America. None. We're living on borrowed time. We have been living off of the hard work of those generations before us. We've been coasting. What is it called? Is it momentum? always get confused between momentum and inertia. But when you get a train going down the tracks in the Mojave Desert with 300 railroad cars and you pull the throttle off that train, did you know that train will go about 40 or 50 miles? You can't even tell it's slowing down, by the way. That's what's been happening. The throttle was let off a long time ago. The church began to be compromised. The church began to be more concerned about how cool it looks. And the first victim of all that was the doctrine of God's word, the teaching of the Bible. And so we began to craft five steps to a happy life sermons. And we're going to have a series this, you know, the next couple of months on you becoming the champion that you are. And the church stopped talking about sin, the cross. And our nation, because the church's light went out, its candlestick was removed. Because there was no longer a witness. So that tonight, you and I live in a world that unless God touches a handful of believers across this nation, there's no hope for America. It is over. Unless the church seeks the face of God. But she needs to have courage. She needs to know what it is she believes, because I'm afraid she doesn't. Jesus is coming back for a bride, the Bible says, who is wearing fine linen, clean and bright. That means she's pure. When he comes back, he's coming back for a pure church. And he's coming back, and he's coming back soon, and that's why 2020 was 2020. And that's why 2021 is 2021. Listen, I think God has given me this. I could be dead wrong, but I don't think so. And I'm telling as many pastor friends as I can say. I see 2020 as being a year where it was the first little movement of water. It was only like, say, 3 inches deep. And the water came, and people got their feet wet, and they looked at it, and they panicked, and pulpits freaked. And all of a sudden, God's word was really exposed for the level of commitment that it was. It was somewhere over here. We didn't know that. We didn't know that it was somewhere down here because for fear, because a governor says so, or a mayor says so, or the council says so. The Bible went down here when reality it was there. That's why the word of man became more authoritative. And the church was compromised. And like Jeremiah said, if you've run with the footmen and they've wearied you, or if you've walked with the footmen and they have wearied you, what are you going to do when the chariots get here? And when the Jordan overflows its banks, then what are you going to do? That's God's word to the church tonight. The events of COVID, forget about the virus. Forget about the sickness. The event swept through the world. And it tested municipalities. It tested governments. It tested leadership. It tested families. It tested marriages. Did it not? It tested relationships. It tested reality, it tested churches, it tested faith, and it tested pastors. Did it not? And that was just the first, that's only 3 inches. 2021, it's going to go up about 6 feet. It's so bad that, again this week, I forget who he was, an archbishop somewhere on the East Coast said, again, Joe Biden, stop calling yourself a Catholic. That's amazing. Why? Because of what's coming is so bad to your freedom, the pressure that is going to be put upon your business, to make sure you are going to have to, if this passes, you're going to have to hire you'll have to have so many percentage of your workforce in your company LGBTQ. Forget about their qualifications. They could be an imbecile or a genius. Doesn't matter. You got to hire. That's the Equality Act. Oh, and a church. Oh, we don't care what you believe. That could, what you believe, listen, they've set themselves up to say to us, what you believe from the Bible and what the Bible says about that, oh, this is 21st century. We don't buy that. No, you're going to have gay pastors, you're going to have gay this and gay that, because we say so. Listen, you think COVID tested churches. How many pastors that are open now will close? How many pastors will stay open? How many pastors will be affected? We don't know. But think of that. How many pastors who have closed their church because afraid of getting sick, when this next thing comes along, will be happy to open up? Oh, that's the new law? Oh, let's open up then. You hear what I'm saying? Did you get that sarcasm? It's pretty deep. We're living in a very, very remarkable time. 2021 is the next step, is the next wave of the church being purified. That's what's happening, friends. Purified. We're being purified. All of us are being tested. Tested. Are we going to fold for what people say and think about us? Or are we going to stand knowing what God says and thinks about us? Who's going to dictate your worldview? Is it going to be your feelings? Is it going to be the feelings of others? Is it going to be the amount of likes? I'm going to tell you guys this because it's just us. I've been doing a little experiment on my Facebook page. I'm going to tell you about it. I've been taking pictures. I'm documenting this. It's fascinating. So I have been letting my like, I guess it's likes, whatever it's called. I don't even know what I'm talking about right now. I just know this. It goes up to about four, I think the highest it's ever been is like 470,000 friends or likes or whatever that is. And it hit that thing. And so then I make a statement of just in-your-face truth. Boom! Did you know? Boom! And here's the link, and here's the data, and 10,000 people. No, really, I got pictures to prove it. 10,000 people. No, like you, no more. No. Bye-bye. And I'm watching this. This is fascinating. My daughter is laughing because she goes, only you would like the fact that you're losing people. By the way, let me, shocker. You know, if you have 100 friends on Facebook, they're not your friends. I mean, I hate to burst your bubble, but those people aren't real. You know what I mean? They're not your friend. If they were a friend, you could borrow money from them. They're not your friends. Think about it. You need a ride from the airport? You've got 100 friends. What's wrong with you? They should all be fighting to pick you up. They're not your friends. Don't let the world dictate the stand you take. You've got to know what you're standing upon because, listen, the river is coming. It's coming. And Facebook will not save you. YouTube will not save you. Social media is not going to be there for you. You need, young people, you need to make a decision. It's not just young people today. You need to make a decision as to where you're going to place your worldview value. Is it in God's promises? I want to encourage you right now. I am blowing the trumpet right now tonight. I'm blowing the trumpet and I'm telling you that this government for the next 4 years is going to hammer you into submission. And if you don't submit, you're going to jail. And I take that so seriously. I have literally been working with an attorney to help my family in the event of my arrest. That's how serious this issue is to me. We are moving things regarding this church's protection against the onslaught of a hostile government toward Christianity so that this church continues to move forward in the safe way. We have to do that. We said this so many years ago, In fact, it was during the days in 2007, I had a series here at this church and warned you. And I was standing alone in those days. I warned you to keep your eye on your children's curriculum because Islam was going to be taught in your public school system. And lo and behold, now it is embedded in your kids' public school system, specifically, most blatantly, first seen in seventh grade social studies books. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I own the books. And it happened. And in 2008, I warned you guys that the issue regarding marriage, that it had nothing to do, listen everybody, if you want to sleep with somebody of the same sex, it is your business. I don't want to know about it. When you do what you do, go do what you do. It's a free country. Just know this. I don't have to like what you do. And I'm commanded, actually, to warn you about what you do. Why? Because it will hurt you. It will kill you. But most importantly, God says, I didn't design humans to do that. In 2008, we were told, you can't say that. And that's why I got in trouble a lot, because I wasn't going to get down into the social engineering of it all. I just stood at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27, and 28. God says, I made male, female, husband, and wife. This is what I've made. And this is how, and I made them to propagate. I made them to propagate. That's God did that. It's science. Hello. It's science. Pure science. Listen, what I just said, I said it tonight because it's clear. What I just said is going to land me in jail within the next 4 years. You won't be able to say or even think that. And yet God says that, listen, I'm blowing the trumpet. If you're married or single and you're a man and you see a woman and you go, wow, first thing is turn your eyes away. Turn your eyes away because it doesn't go well after that. Okay? Girls, listen up. Guys are visually stimulated. We are visually attracted. Okay? And you're not going to change that. This is the way it is. And so guys, you're to look away. That is true even if you have temptations toward the same sex. Did you hear what I said? Because today, and I've had it, listen, I've heard someone tell me this before. I asked somebody, we were talking in the foyer, and they were here, they were not a believer, or I'm not quite sure what they were, but they said, I said, so regarding sin, have you ever looked at a man and lusted after him? No, I'm a lesbian. And I said, okay, well, have you ever looked at a woman and, no, you don't understand, I'm a lesbian. That verse doesn't apply to me. I said, oh, you mean a free pass? You get a free pass because you're a lesbian. You get a pass. So only a man or a woman looking at the opposite sex violates the law of God. But if somebody looking at the same doesn't. Really? Wow. No, listen, there's no free pass. If you struggle with sexual temptation of any sort or any kind, do you understand? God says, run from it. Okay? You say, the Bible says, doesn't the Bible say get married? Yeah, it does get it does say to get married. If you can't control yourself, it says get married. But nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say that or says that homosexual marriage is approved by God. In fact, it's cursed by God. You say, well, what if I have that attraction? Listen, you need to fight that attraction. You need to ask God. If God can't deliver us from cursing and smoking and drinking and drugs and demonism and anything and all, if he, then you get a free pass. But let me tell you, he does deliver us. He does. Our culture has beat it into us to say, well, the criteria now is if they just love one another. Again, God is expecting you to go to the science. He's not expecting any emotional ism or any mental ism in it. Abortion. If you know anything about me and this church, this is a big issue for me. This is a hill I die on. No pun intended. Because abortion almost killed me. I have a hard time when I see a bumper sticker that says Joe Biden on it. Because it tells me that that person voted to kill babies. I take that very personal because, you know what, I couldn't count on you. If there was an accident and I'm bleeding, I wouldn't even expect you to call the 911. How dare you say that? How dare I say that? The Bible warns us to stand up for those who are doomed or destined to be crushed, those who have no voice. If you, listen, if this government is the most in all of our history. Listen, you guys, did you know that the most violent life senator in American history that voted for in his state, he voted for partial birth abortion. Did you know that? They didn't even know the term. They didn't even talk about the terms in those days publicly. But he was so radical, he stood on that hill and he wouldn't waver. He kept voting for partial birth abortion. Do you know what partial birth abortion is? You want to see, we don't have a video, but I was going to scare you for a moment. You know, that's when the baby is a quarter of the way out, maybe halfway out, and they just take scissors into the back of the neck, kill a perfectly normal human being. Did you know that? You should know that. You should see it. Everyone should see it. Because you see that, you have to equate the two. You see that, and then you look at people who are senators and congressmen and assemblymen and mayors and people in authority, and you've got to ask them, what's your view on that? And if they say, I don't see any problem with that, then don't expect them to protect your dog when it's loose. Barack Obama was that guy. Barack Obama was the most violent senator against the unborn child in American history until now. Now it's the president of the United States. The most dangerous, listen, this is going to sound radical. You think COVID kills people or influenza or diabetes? Are you kidding? It's a joke. Let's stop being hypocrites. It's a stinking joke, and I'm going to tell you right now. Everybody's whining about COVID deaths. Look, if you lost someone from COVID, I'm sorry to hear that. But I understand this too. God's in control of life, period. And if I was supposed to die of COVID when I had it, oh, I had it. I didn't cry on your shoulder and tell you about it. I had it about 4 months ago. Here's the deal. If I was supposed to die on a particular day, it didn't have to be COVID or not. Do you understand? The Bible says God knows the day that you're going to die. And you can't change it. You can't change that. This is an absolute, this is theology and science. God says you can't change it. So here's the thing. If I were to die of COVID, I would have died of COVID. There was a day set. COVID wouldn't have killed me. It would have been the day my number was up. That's the day. And if I could have survived COVID, got healed of it, walked down the street, slipped on a banana and died because it was my day. Very few people believe that because they don't trust God. And so people of faith are walking around terrorized and they've lost their faith. Don't tell me they have faith. They don't have faith. And I'm not talking about being dumb. When you're sick, you better stay home. That is mean. If you're sick and you come to church or you go to Costco and you're sick, you know what? You're more than sick. You got something wrong. Your mom told you, stay in bed, eat soup, wash your hands. Okay? That's just normal. By the way, you want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. Just do this. Every time you wear a mask, you have to destroy, every day you should burn that mask in a coffee can or something. Did you know this? How many of you are destroying your mask every day? Why are you laughing? Excuse me, wait a minute. Wait. If the masks work, listen, If you think the mask work, what is the mask stopping if it works? Say it. COVID. No, no, if it works. COVID. Let's
okay, we'll
play along. If the mask works, what's it stopping? COVID. Where's the COVID? On the mask. They don't know how long COVID lives on a mask. Think about it. You walk around. That's fine. You want to wear it? Fine. Just know something. If you're not destroying the mask at the end of the day, you're killing yourself. Don't be afraid of me. You should be afraid of you. Because the COVID's now in the mask. But you know what you do? You put it in your pocket or you hang it on your mirror and you use it tomorrow. The good thing is the mask doesn't stop virus. No mask stops virus. Okay, you'd have to go to Home Depot and buy the painter's thing with the two filters. I'm serious. You want to stop COVID? Get the two filtered mask with the screw-on filters. That'll stop it. People are afraid. Listen, all of a sudden in our culture, because faith is gone, notice, faith went out the door when fear hit. And when fear hit, the next result was remarkable to me. No one's allowed to die. Our governor said, we will lighten the restrictions when no one dies. I'm quoting him. We will loosen the restrictions when no one dies. Yet, listen, he was speaking true. True for the culture. True for the culture is this. We are so absolutely terrified of dying because we have no faith that death is unacceptable. We are so scared to death because we've rejected God's promises. We don't believe in him. And we're so scared to death that we'll only be safe and happy when no one dies. Death is unacceptable. Hey, listen. Jesus said death's unacceptable too. That's why he came and died on the cross. So you wouldn't have to die forever. Okay? God wants to use his church. That's all that we're living for. I hate to bum you out, but our conversation just, Lisa was talking to Judy, and I was listening, we were talking together briefly, and something was said, and I just said, I don't like this world anymore. And I said, oh, don't get me wrong, I love a good sunrise, and I love a good sunset, and I love a pretty day. Come on. We love bunnies. We all love bunnies. They're the best. Now, you know, puppy. Even a kitten is amazing. Right? I said a kitten. When they're little. But you know what I'm saying? That stuff's wonderful. But it's like, you know what? This world, really? This world has lost its luster, has it not? And so what we want to do is live for God, but it's going to cut. Listen, you just know God's word's true. Every word of God's Bible is true. And Jesus said that if you love me and you follow me, you're going to be hated. Some of you might remember about 5 years ago, I shared in a few sermons something that I'd been going through personally, and that was trying to figure out this strange thing. And it was on my own private devotional life that wound up captivating me. And it was this. Jesus, how do I reconcile this? Help me to understand this. You were the ultimate lover of man, but it was man's hatred for you that was laid on you. They said, crucify him. They hated you. But you were the most loving human that ever graced the earth. Most loving, most hated. Then you say to me in the Bible, if I walk with you and love you, then the world is to know about you by my love. The world is supposed to know that Christians love. But your Bible also says that if I do that, I'm going to be hated. Amen. So which is it? How does that work? And it works perfectly. I didn't know the answer. And maybe you cannot get a degree in this. You have to wind up living it. I never thought for a moment. I didn't know I would be so hated in the Christian community in this nation for keeping the doors of the church open. No, listen. That's fine. Thank you. That's very sweet. But listen, I got my answer from Jesus. It's the Lord who says to me on April 26th, private time with God. I wrote it all down. Open the doors. What? Open the doors. Behold, I've set before you an open door that no man can shut. You have kept my word. You've not denied my name. Open the doors. Lord, when? This is fun. When? And it's like lightning. May 31st. I wrote it on my computer. It's still there today. I wrote it on my computer with a Sharpie pen. It's on my laptop. And then I put tape over it to keep it there forever. And I didn't know till days later that it was Palm Sunday. That was Pentecost Sunday. God knew that. I didn't know that. And how many pastors called me when I sent the video? I sent about a 15-minute video to the governor's office and then to all of you saying, hey, we're opening up. And the response from pastors, don't do that. We're not doing it. Why are you doing it? Oh, we're going to have to meet. We're going to have to meet and talk about this. Oh, I'm telling you the truth. I was cooked by fellow Calvary Chapel pastors. Listen, I'm telling you this for your strength and part of the trumpet blowing thing. Listen, I was asked to retract my commitment to the 31st. I was then asked to put out a video apologizing for the statement. And to make a statement that pastors who are not opening up, they are led by God too. I never said it to separate pastors like that. I will not answer for any church on this planet but this one. And so he told me to open up the doors of this one, right? Not for anybody else. That's between them. And so, listen. It was personal. But what happens is, I'm asked then, well, you know, we're gonna vote. We're going to decide if you should even be in. And I said, you know what? You got to do what you got to do. I got to do what I got to do. And you know what God wound up doing? You're going to hear about it later. No, later, because there's some really great things, but I don't want to say anything about it yet until, frankly, the ink is dried, quite literally. This church has now, because God kept us open, this church is now in the position to help other churches in other areas that opened up with us on that day when I asked them to open up with us. You know what God wound up doing? God wound up helping us in such a way that now we're helping other ministries keep their doors open because they're being attacked by their governments. It's because of your faithfulness. It's because of you obeying God and following God. I want to tell you, you stand with Him and you'll never have to go back. You'll never have to apologize. You'll never have to waver. You can just stand there and let it go. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to just stand there. And this next wave of whatever is coming, we're going to keep standing. We don't need to invent something. We don't need to do that. God had us in the position for 29 years. And then the 30th year hit. Literally, it was the 30th year of this church. And 2020 hit. And we were in this, we were there. It's like, wow. Hair's blowing back, your eyeballs are wide open. Wow. And now 2021, it's going. And it's like, woo! Right? And you know, we don't have to invent anything. You don't have to change anything. His word is a sure foundation. Never move. Wow, I've taken up this whole time. I thought I was going to talk 5 minutes. Anybody have one word, one topic?
Outreach.
Outreach. What does that mean? What? Out now? Huh? Evangelism. Join the call. What's that? Ah, the call ministry. You want to do evangelism? Join the call. It'll change your life. You'll be a witnessing animal. It's packed. The call's already packed. What? Okay, anyway, real quick, another topic. Vaccine. Vaccine. Not going to comment on it. You want to know why? Because you can't win the argument. If I have an opinion, then half the people won't agree with that opinion. If I have an opinion this way, half the people don't agree. Nobody agrees on the vaccine. I tell you what, I haven't taken it. Listen, the people who talk about the vaccine, when you listen to them, they don't even know about their vaccine. So listen, you can't win that one. Here's what's concerning about vaccines. Many of them, a lot of people are saying, but the vaccines have baby parts, or the vaccines have this. Listen, I hate to blow your mind, but a lot of vaccines that are out there and have been out there for decades have all the same parts in it. We're just dialing down on this one right now. Just be very careful. Be very careful. Vaccine situation, let's forget about the medicine part of it. Let's talk about what we know for sure. This is what we know for sure. If you get the vaccine, you still have to wear a mask. I'm not kidding. You still have to stay 6 feet apart. And Fauci said this week, was it this week or last week? Grandparents cannot see grandchildren even if they get the vaccine. This week he said it? He must not have any grandkids. Which, by the way, let me just burn the whole building down right now. There are people who will not let their grandkids, who are not going to get it, they won't let their grandkids see the grandparents. I'm sorry, there's parents who will not let their children see the grandparents. The kids can't get it. But they're so gripped with fear that they won't let the grandparents see the babies. Even when the grandparents say, do you understand? I'm 83 years old. I want to die. And I want to see those kids before I die. But fear has destroyed our culture. Fear has destroyed our culture. People, you, CPAC, what about it? It's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, just watch it. Is it going to be? You can watch it online.
What's this?
CPAC. Second Amendment. Second Amendment. Okay, look, Second Amendment. Oh, we're going to end with this one. Watch. No, because it's big. Second Amendment. The Second Amendment only on paper, only works on paper if it's in the Constitution. I would like to see evidence, real evidence, that our government officials have obeyed at all the Constitution. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now, I do not believe, I'm not joking, this is not bombastity, I'm not playing games. We already don't have a First Amendment. And the Second Amendment will go away with the Biden administration. It is the number one passion of Kamala Harris. Number one. That's the Constitution. Listen, the reason why our founding fathers said the First and Second Amendments have to be these. Freedom of religion, freedom of press, freedom of speech. Because as we studied world histories, man is going to say what's on his mind anyway. Because it's given to him from God. So we'll make that number one. Did you know this? What should be the Second Amendment? The Second Amendment should be the other thing that's from God. And that is, a man will protect himself or his family at all costs. A mama bear or a papa bear will sacrifice themselves to save the baby bears. Are you with me? And so Jefferson and those guys went, that'd be the second. Because the First and Second Amendments, our founding fathers said, these are natural laws. We can't issue them. They've already been written in the heart of man from God. A man will say what he wants to say, and a man will defend his family or property. So that's going to be one, and that's going to be two. And they always believed that number two would always defend number one. They shake hands. Within 1 year of Biden's presidency, I think you'll see, if not the abolishing of both, you'll see the death of one and the near death of the other. That will most likely lead to a massive, massive civil war. Sad to say, it will be a. I have the peace of God. I was just asked. I forget. There's interviews going on all the time now. Tomorrow we'll be on Spicer and Company with, I don't know if you ever watch Spicer and Company, but on Newsmax. Tomorrow I'll be on there about religious freedom. That's pretty amazing because there's like 5 million viewers on that thing. It's crazy. So be praying for that, please, because I don't want to fumble. It'd be sad. But this whole thing is, I think the Constitution died maybe, I don't know, 9 years ago. I think it died. Or how about this? I think it was shot and it's been laying in the street. It's been laying in the Capitol, so to speak, or at the National Archives. It's been laying there and it's been bleeding out. And I think the Constitution died. And God showed us that it died by the most unusual president being elected. You never would have known. Whatever your opinion is of Trump, it's irrelevant to my point right now. My point is, you never would have known that you had a corrupt CIA and a corrupt FBI. You didn't know that those guys were a bunch of thugs without Trump being attacked. Did you? You would have thought that there was Republicans and Democrats. And then Trump comes along, and you find out they're all on the same team. It's amazing. We never would have known this. And in this whole process, what do we find out? We find out that when the Constitution says when a state sues another state, the Constitution says the Supreme Court has to be the determining law over the two states. You know that? That never happened. They refused to hear it. They didn't like the topic. Listen, you think right now, you're going to get in trouble talking like that. No, you are. You're living in a nation right now off of a reputation that once was. I have God's peace in my heart. I'm not. I was asked on that media thing. Well, what, you know, how are you? I'm fine. I've given this to God. It's this way. We've just been reminded that the Lord is all that we have and He's all that we need. And here's the thing. It was great when it's great while we had it. John Adams said, this Constitution only works for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other. We stopped being moral, we stopped being religious, and we took the Constitution and we shot it. And it's been bleeding out all this time, and now we know that it's dead. And if you think that's exaggeration, then try to explain the many things that are now going on. Okay? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look to His approval only. Don't be pulled into the trends and the pressures and the manipulation of man. Stand strong. Heavenly Father, we ask of you tonight, Jesus, that you would become just like, I'm thinking of Lucy in, I think it's The Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe or Chronicles of Narnia. I don't remember which one, but Lucy, when Lucy sees you every year, and every year she sees you show up as Aslan, and she sees you, and she says, every year you get bigger. But you never change. I pray for all of us tonight, every year may you get bigger, because we get closer to you. You're always the same, but if we keep drawing closer to you, then you'll be bigger in our lives. Above all things ever, for all time and eternity, is the fact that Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord, died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the grave. And we've never been more thankful for that truth than now. We thank you that this is not our home. We thank you that it's becoming more defined and clear. That when Jesus said, when you begin to see these things happen, look up, for your redemption draws near. We pray, Father, that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit upon the remnants of what is your church in America. That you'd cause the church to arise and to go forth. Father, that you'd prepare all of us tonight. Church, let's stand together. Lord, as we stand, may even now the armament of the soldier of Christ be upon us. May that helmet be well fitted. That shield, that sword, that breastplate, that belt, that pair of sandals. Lord, surround us. And may we be more hungry for your word than ever before. Dear God in heaven, well, we love you. And we're going to tell you that right now in this song, Lord. We're going to express our praise, thanks, and adoration to you. Lord, God bless this people. Lord, heal our land in Jesus' name. Let's worship him in closing, church.